So Lord Jesus, I just hear Chris's story, and I'm just so moved by how you've met her when she was in a hard, hard place. And Lord, I think there are other people who are here this morning who are in a similar place. And Jesus, I just pray now for those who are depressed and those who are hurting. I pray for those who are anxious and those who are fearful. I pray for those who are angry. And Lord, I pray that you would come and meet them in this place. And Lord, you would come and replace those things with your peace and your presence and your love and your help. Lord, today it's a different kind of a day. It's 911. And Lord, even though that happened 15 years ago, we still remember it like it was yesterday. We remember where we were. We remember what we experienced. We think of those people who are still going through loss and change and hurt from that. We pray for them. We pray for the families of those firefighters and police officers and civilians who gave their lives. Lord, we pray for those who are hurting from that. And we pray that you come and help them. We don't forget, Lord. We ask for you to help us through it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn on the lights. And we're going to excuse, have we not excused junior high or high school yet? We want to do that? Junior high and high school? Love you, miss you, bye. Yeah. So I don't know about you, but it seems like when we talk about hard times and crisis times, don't you just wish that God would just like whisper in your ear and give you direction? God would just write you a card and say, by the way, you need to do this with a map on it. I mean, don't you just wish that there are just times where God would just make it very clear and speak to you. So here's the thing I want to challenge you with is I really do believe that God is speaking to us on a regular basis. But I think, like, does anyone still listen to the radio anymore? Okay, I just kind of curious. Or, you know, when you're trying to get that station, you're trying to tune it. And I think what God wants from us is not necessarily for us all of a sudden to conjure up some word from him, but it's to get our own ears in tune so that we can listen, so that we can get on the right frequency, so that we can hear him. Because I don't think it's that God's not speaking. I just think it's that we're out of sync. Or if we want to say it blunt, maybe we're not just paying attention. And so today, I think the purpose of today is not to try to get God to speak to you. I think he's already speaking. The thing that I'm praying for today is that today is a day that you get on the right frequency. Okay? You know, it's interesting. I think one of the things I love about the Bible is the Bible's full of people, just ordinary people who want to hear from God in the midst of their pain and their hurt and their sufferings, in the midst of everyday life. You know, I one of my favorite stories is that of Elijah. You know, and Elijah was a person who spoke the truth of God, but one day he ticked off a queen, Queen Jezebel. By the way, don't name your child Jezebel, okay? You're just asking for trouble if you do. And so, you know, Elijah kind of ticked her off. And so she said, you know, before this day's over, you're going to be dead. And Elijah, this great prophet of God, got scared. I don't know about you, but I find that very comforting to know that great people of God get scared, okay? And he ran. He was scared to death. And God ministered to him in that. He gave him shade and he slept. By the way, sometimes that's the best thing, right? Angels ministered to him and gave him food. And then the word of the Lord says, here, I want you to go to this place that is up high, and I want you to wait for the Lord to pass by. I want you to wait because God's going to speak to you. And so Elijah waits, right? And so this incredible earthquake comes, and he thinks, God must be in this earthquake, you know, but God wasn't there. And then this mighty wind comes, and Elijah says, surely God must be in this wind, but God didn't say a word. And then a fire comes, Elijah says, this must be it. This must be the pinnacle moment, right? And God's not there. And then all of a sudden, in a gentle whisper, the Lord speaks. And just the first two or just the three were just to get his attention, I think. But when he was quiet and when he was still, he could hear God. And that's what I want to do today, is get you to a place where you can be quiet and still, and God can clear all the clutter from your minds, and you can hear what he is saying to you already. That's what today's about. So, you know, we are preparing ourselves for this whole Rooted series that we're going to be doing in January. You've heard us talk about it. It's a discipleship ministry that we're doing with every small group in our church. By the way, without exception, small group leaders, take heed, okay? And that's going to start in January. But just to kind of get our hearts prepared for that, what we've done is we've taken each of the sections of this and we're kind of walking you through I think, steps of discipleship. Not everything covered under the sun, and it's not to give you some formula so you can just check off a box so you can get to heaven. Okay? This is so you can experience God in the here and now, so that you can hear him speak, so that you can walk closely with him, that you can enjoy intimacy and a real relationship with the Lord God Almighty. And so this week, the thing that I wanted to talk to you about is, how does God speak to us? And again, this whole series is like drinking from a fire hose. With each section in this Rooted series, there's like five distinct lessons for each subject. And I'm just going to give it to you in one little talk. But I want today to be a day that we get in tune and in the right frequency with what God wants to say to us. Okay? So let me just share with you how God speaks to us, because God speaks to us in a number of ways, right? God speaks to us through his Son, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Why? So that we might be able to to hold God. We might be able to grasp him, to see that he's real, to touch him, to have that tangible expression of God before us, and take away all the scary, faraway, distant deity things. And what better way than for God to send his very own Son as a small child, as a baby, so that we could hold him and know him. The Bible says the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only. You see, God speaks to us through his Son, whom he gave us in the person of Jesus. God speaks to us through his creation. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. I've been trying to find a way to drink that water nonchalantly, and it just didn't work. Or listen to these words in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. It says this: for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Now, I'm not sure why men were singled out there, except they probably are the ones who don't pay attention. But, you know, but just the fact that God says, look, you know, the very creation, I'm speaking to you through my creation. I'm letting you see who I am, and so that we can have a conversation, and you can see it was me who made this incredible world in which you live. Through creation, God speaks to us. And then God speaks to us through other people. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. And, you know, I really believe that God places words for us to hear from other believers, okay? So here's the thing. I want you to pray a dangerous prayer this week. Remember Samuel? When Samuel was just a boy, he prayed this prayer. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I just would like you to pray that this week and see what happens. I dare you, okay? So here's the thing. You know, I like to practice what I preach, which is, you know, which is scary sometimes, actually. So really, by the time I get here for you, this really isn't for you, it's just for me, but you can listen in. And I just know that I've just been praying that all week. And the thing is, it's like, oh my goodness, God has been speaking so much to me. And it's not like, I don't want to say, he stands behind me and says, Sean, do this, and gives me a map, right? But I just find that like today I was in church, and God just, there was someone I saw, and I just felt God saying, you know what, you need to tell that person not to be discouraged because they're going through something hard right now. So I went up to them and I said that, and sure enough, that hit home. The worst one was I was in Safeway. Now, I don't want God to speak to me in Safeway. Okay, I just like, God, I want to just be normal, right? And I'm in Safeway, and there's this woman walks by, and I just felt God saying, you need to tell her this. I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to be one of those Christians, you know. I do not want. And so I'm thinking, this is just going to pass. So, you know, she goes down the aisle, and I just feel like God saying, you need to tell her this. And, you know, sometimes we pass on the opportunities God gives. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it, God. I'm not interested. And then, of course, next aisle, she comes around, and she comes down the aisle again. I'm, oh, man, do not, and I'm not going to do it. And then third time, it's like this: she was stalking me with Jesus, right? Okay, it's just like this woman. I mean, every time I turn around, this woman's there. So I said, okay, I give. And I said, excuse me, and I'm trying to think of what to say, you know? Because I said, look, you don't know me, which is a horrible way to start a conversation, right? You know, this one was like, okay, creeper, because in gray hair, creeper grandpa, you know, and it's just like, you know, and I was just like, great, great. I'm like, okay, you don't know me, but okay, this might sound a little weird. That's another way not to start a conversation, right? And so by now, I'm sure this woman is going, get me out of the deli section, you know, and I said, you know, I just felt like God wanted me to share this with you. And I say it, and I'm just waiting for her to throw something at me or something, you know, and she started to cry. I thought, oh no, now what have I done? And she says, thank you so much. And then I found myself saying what I felt God was saying to me next. Could I pray for you? I'm in Safeway for crying out loud. Couldn't have been like in some, well, I was going to say dark place. That's even creepier. But, you know, I was like, so I do. I pray for her. And she says, thank you so much. She's crying. I'm kind of crying. We're a mess in Safeway. I'm just glad it wasn't rush hour. And all I know is I thought, you know what? I walked away from that and I thought, God, why would I doubt you? And what if I hadn't shared that? I mean, I guess her life would have been just fine, but I felt like that was just maybe an encouragement that God had. And I've had people do that for me, and I just think that God is wanting to speak to us. And the question is, you know, what if we all this week started saying, Lord, speak for your servant is listening. What would God do? And what if we acted upon what we heard? You know, and there might be times where we miss an opportunity. There might be times we don't get it quite right. But what if we actually acted on that? We acted and lived as if God really existed. How about that for something different? Can't believe we're talking about that in church. But we should be talking about this in church. So here's the thing. God speaks through people. God also speaks through circumstances. Again and again, we see how God lines things up so that we hear clearly from him. God speaks through supernatural means. I mean, through Isaiah, he gave this incredible vision. For Moses, he had a burning bush. For Balaam, he had a donkey. For Gideon, he an angel. I mean, and there are so many different ways that God speaks to us. It gets almost deafening. And yet, we are wondering if God cares about us. And so what I want to share with you today is we can't talk about every one of these today, and it's really warm. Is this warm in this room, or am I just getting older? Okay, it's warm in this room. I don't know if, okay, so just fan the person next to you, because no one's really moving towards the air conditioner. Okay, good. Okay, now we're getting weird. Okay, so I just want to share with you three ways that I believe that God speaks to us, okay? And just three ways that I want you to just maybe give attention to this week and see if you don't hear from God in a different way. Okay? It's through his word, through his spirit, through prayer. Those are the three I really want to focus on today. And let me just talk about that, okay? I believe that God speaks to us through his word. You know, this is not just any old book. This is not just something you get as a wedding gift or a graduation gift and you put on the shelf. This is God's word to us. This was breathed on by God himself. Okay? This is God's love letter to you. And let me just tell you this, is that when the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, this wasn't meant just to sit on your shelf. And so here's the thing, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be fully equipped for every good work. Or Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Or I look in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says this, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came down about came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For the prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that mean? That means that the words that we have isn't just someone just writing down their musings or just a couple clever little thoughts. These are people who heard from God himself and just wrote down what God was saying. And many people have looked over and said, do we believe that this is from the Lord? This has been affirmed and consistent for generations. And so we don't just believe that this is just a nice little book. We believe that this is life. And so that as we spend time in it, did you hear that? As we spend time in God's word, it does not come back void. And so here's the thing. You say, well, I want God to speak to me through his word. Well, here's the thing. Then you got to read it, right? You can't just say, dear Lord, please download the Bible in my brain tonight. Amen. It doesn't work that way. You can't say, I want to be close to the words. You can't put it on your pillow and hope that it absorbs. It doesn't work that way. How many of you own a Bible? How many of you have a Bible app? How many of you at least read it a couple times a week? How many just lied right now? Just checking. Okay, so here's the challenge, okay? I want to encourage you every day this week. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 5 hours. I mean, you're thinking you have to be 5 hours to be spiritual. Not true. If you're open it, you're ahead of 90% of the people I know, right? And if you've never read through the Bible before, I want you to read one of the accounts of Jesus' life. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, okay? All very different perspectives, all tell the same basic story, right? Okay, so what was Matthew? Matthew was a tax collector. So a lot of Matthew, you hear a lot of attention to detail and numbers of people who came to know Christ, numbers of people who were healed, a lot of numbers and attention to detail there. Mark was a young guy. So Mark is kind of like the Indiana Jones of Scripture, right? I mean, it's almost like teenage ADD, okay? He's just going from one event to another, and Jesus did this, and Jesus did that. And so if you get bored easily, start with Mark. Or maybe Luke. Luke was a doctor. Luke spends a lot of time just talking about the healings of Jesus. John wrote that we might know Jesus as Lord, and so John was very attentive to point out this is why Jesus is God, okay? Now they intermingle, but these are four different perspectives. Or maybe if you read that, maybe go with one of the letters of Paul, or maybe go with Philippians or James, or maybe start in the Old Testament. Read through Joshua, which we just read through. But here's the key. Start spending time in God's word. You notice every time Jesus was tempted by Satan, what did he respond with? He responded with the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By the way, this is how God speaks to us. How many of you want to hear God speak to you? Okay. Way number one. Okay. Secondly, I believe that God speaks to us through his Spirit. I love what Charles Stanley had to say. He said, the Holy Spirit has been sent by the Father to assist you in all the practical matters of Christian living. He is your number one helper. Or look what it says in the Gospel of John chapter 14. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. It's interesting where we're going to come back to that. Advocate, some translations say counselor, to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So what's going on here, right? Jesus is just about to go to the cross, right? And his disciples are worried. What's going to happen to you, Jesus? What's going to happen to us? And Jesus says, don't worry. You know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then he says, look, you know what? I will not be on this planet much longer. But I want you to know that I will still be with you because I am sending my Holy Spirit. I'm sending my Spirit to live in you, inside of you, so you can hear his voice. Okay? And that's so important because they say, you know, it sounds kind of creepy, right? It sounds like something from a sci-fi movie. You know, there's something growing and living inside me. Yes, it's God's Spirit. And see, Jesus says, look, you know what? I'm not leaving you deserted, but my Spirit is going to speak to you. This is your advocate. Now what is an advocate? An advocate is one sent to help, to do anything you can't do on your own. And when God uses the word advocate to describe his Spirit, it reminds us of God's words to us. He's a witness. The Spirit is a witness on our behalf. And there are other words that are used to describe the Holy Spirit living within us, right? If you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, God's Spirit is living in you. And this advocate is also called the comforter and the counselor and the helper and the encourager, the intercessor, the teacher, the companion, the Spirit of truth. And what is Jesus saying? Look, I'm here with you, and so you're not going to be alone. That's why this whole passage ends with Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Because I'm right there with you." So you know, it's happened before, right? You're going along a certain way, and you think, man, I can make this choice or this choice, and you get this little check in your spirit, like, okay, I don't know, this may not be the right way to go, right? And what's that little check? That's the Holy Spirit. And the question is, are you going to listen? Are you going to listen, right? Or someone presents something to you and say, I don't know, is that good or bad? Now you can just say, well, I'll just figure it out, yes, I'll flip a coin. Or you can say, maybe I just better ask God about that and ask him to speak to you about that. Okay, so this is how the Spirit works in and through us. In fact, Paul said it this way. He said, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. By the way, did you know that every person in this room is full of something? Do you know that? Right? You are all full of something. Now here, Paul says, maybe you're filled with wine, you know? Maybe we can be filled with pride or with anger or lust. But Paul says this, he says, look, I want you to be filled by my Holy Spirit, so much so that as you listen to my Spirit, as you ask my Spirit to speak to you, as you are attentive, as you tune in, you are going to be filled so much that it will overflow not into your life, but also in the lives of others. And Paul says, this is my greatest desire for you, that you not only have the Spirit in your possession, but that that Spirit fills you and directs you and guides you and gives you my peace and my joy and my direction and my hope. This is what God's Spirit does inside our lives. And so that's why we hear all these different things that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fills you, wants to give you. The first is new life. If you look in Romans chapter 8, I made all these little notes here. Romans chapter 8, it says this. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. You see, the Spirit of God gives us new life. The Spirit of God also gives us wisdom and the ability to think as God thinks. Listen to these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deepest things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. You see, this is what the Spirit of God working in and through us gives us, wisdom and the ability to think as God thinks. The Spirit gives us supernatural strength. Listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You see what God's promising us here? He's promising us new life, wisdom and the ability to think as God thinks, supernatural strength. By the way, I hope you look through all those verses and go back to them this week. I put them down there so you could do that. Do any of you do that, by the way? Okay, I need to work on that because just one lady raised her hand. Okay, I'm going to work on that. You're going to work on that, I hope. But the other thing is this, is that the Bible also says that when the Spirit is in our life, it changes our very character. Galatians talks about the virtues that God gives us. It calls it the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, the fruit, the thing that grows out of something that's healthy, right? Healthy things grow good fruit, right? And so what are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right, I learned that because when I was a little kid, they taught me that song, right? And so here's the thing. I mean, this is what God gives us, you know? And notice it doesn't say, look, this is what the Spirit gives us. It gives us anger, it gives us pride, it gives us lust. It doesn't say any of that, does it? It says that as God's Spirit fills us, as God speaks to us, he changes the very nature of who we are. He fills us with the fruits of his Spirit. And he gives us certain talents and gifts beyond our natural abilities. You know, if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you know that God's given you a supernatural gift. Now, we sometimes call them spiritual gifts, right? But see, this is the beauty of the church. You know, I have a great marriage. And yet, one of the things you'll know if you get to know my wife and I is that we are about as opposite can be, right? When we did premarital counseling, they were concerned for us because I tested off the chart extrovert. Can you imagine that, right? Off the chart extrovert, and she was very introvert and very tolerant. They were very concerned about that, right? And so they said, you know, I don't know. And I'll never forget what the pastor said. See, this is what's going to happen. If you learn to appreciate and value each other, you are going to balance and blend each other like nothing else. Or you're going to kill each other and divorce within a year. Oh, okay. Thanks very much. You know, and so here's the thing. 31 years later, I mean, I'm still growing, right? And I always joke, you know, I keep Patty having fun. She keeps me grounded, you know. But really, you know those corny movies, She Completes Me, you know? That's kind of true, actually. And see, here's the thing, is that when we talk about the church, you don't have to be married to experience this incredible fullness, because what happens is that God gives us each spiritual gifts, right? So some of you have the gift of leadership. Some of you have the gift of helps. Some of you have the gift of wisdom. Some of you speak in tongues. Some of you have gifts of healing. Some of you have all sorts of different gifts. And here's the thing, nobody has all the gifts. No person is a complete package in and of themselves. And if we try to live our life apart from God's family, this is why the church is called the body of Christ. Because when we are together, oh, it's beauty to behold, because the body of Christ works on all cylinders as each part does its work. That's what the Bible says. And so you need to know that for this church to function, we need you here. We need you to be a part. We need to use your gifts. And there are some people who have upfront gifts. There's some people who sing beautifully. We want you to sing. There's some people who sing horribly. We want you to hum, okay? There's some people who are technical people, right? And they are really good at that. There's some people like me that are not technical. You don't want me near your computer, okay? But you know what? As we work together, we help each other out. We use the gifts that God has given us to be the body of Christ. And this is how God speaks to us as his body collected, as his body united. And this is how the Spirit works within us. Okay? So here's the other thing. God speaks to us through prayer. I love what Philip Yancey said in his book, Prayer Doesn't Make a Difference. He says, when I pray, it may seem that I am narrowing my world, retreating from the real world into a prayer closet, in Jesus' metaphor. Actually, I'm entering another world, just as real but invisible, a world that has power to change both me and the world I seem to be retreating to. I love the way it says in the Rooted book. It says, prayer is not just talking to God, it is giving space for him to communicate back to us. When God speaks to us, it is usually when we have slowed down enough to empty our minds of our agendas and things that distract us. Whew. Okay, so I'm gonna walk on some thin ice here, okay? Just so you know. Right now, I have the potential to offend every woman in this room. Okay, so here we go. Be careful. Here we go. Men and women are different. Okay, now let me explain this a little more, okay? Okay, so at the end of the day, my wife's mind is filled with a lot. My mind at the end of the day is empty. And I read a book recently, as all guys do, and this was the answer. Your job is not to fix your wife. Your job is just to listen and let her know you care. And so, and I'll tell you, there are times, right, I'm just kind of winding down and going to sleep, and my wife has so much on her mind. How she downloads it is she downloads it on me, right? And she says, you know, I'm just falling asleep. She says, you know, I think we need to do this. And then she says, and I didn't know anybody's mind could hold this much, right? She just shares all these things, right? And then it's all down on me, and I'm like a neutered cat, right? It's just like horrible. You know, I'm just like, ah. And she goes to sleep, and I'm awake for the next hour, right? Now, I'm not here to judge you, ladies, and I'm not saying all women are like that, but they are, and so, but I am saying this, is that prayer is that type of dialogue. Now, don't get me wrong. You are not bothering God, and my wife is not bothering you, me, because the other day I paid attention to one of these books, and I listened. You think that's hard to believe, right? I listened, and I heard her, and actually, I had a pad next. I wrote a few things down, and I said, okay, I hear you. And you know what she said to me? She said, thank you. That means so much to me. Now, here's the thing. I'd like to tell you that all husbands are as great as I am. Or I'd like to tell you that I always do that. It's really the right. But I do know this, that there is a God who is not burdened by you sharing your every thought with him. In fact, he welcomes it. He longs for it. He cries out for it. He says, please come to me, all you are worried and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, come, share your heart with me. And I hear you. And I hear your concerns. Now, God is God too, and I think he answers a little more than I do and can respond. But here's the thing. I think we think that prayer, for some reason, we think that God doesn't want to hear from us or that God doesn't want to have anything to say to us, that we've been forgotten, but that's not the point of prayer. And so what I want to encourage you is this, is that God wants to hear your thoughts. God wants to hear your concerns. God wants to hear your cares. God wants to hear your worries. He cares for you. He loves you, and he is awake and always listening. And I'm not always that way, right? And so here's the thing. I want to encourage you to speak those things to God. And then I want to ask you to do something very bold. I want you to be still and know that he is God. I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Don't just download and go to bed, but listen to what he has to say. You see, I think that if we are to pray, I think that sometimes we just need to get alone and just pray quietly and just talk to God and invite him into the everyday of our lives. You know, I have a friend who started a music company many years ago called 5-Minute Walk Productions. And I asked him, I said, why do you call it 5-Minute Walk Productions? He says, because Sean, he says, we're doing this Christian recording label. And he said, you know, we get going pretty fast. And so we just encourage all our employees at every day just to take 5 minutes to walk and be alone with God. I thought, how great is that? I can do that. How many of you at the place you work, you could find 5 minutes of your day just to maybe walk around the building or around the campus or wherever you're at, right? You could do that, right? Just to spend time and just be quiet and listen to God. Maybe you get more than just 5 minutes. Maybe it's the first thing you do. Maybe it's throughout the day. I just know that even Jesus, right? Jesus had so many people crowding around him. The Bible tells us several times, one day Jesus left the crowds just to pray alone. One day Jesus got up early just to pray alone, just to be alone with his Father, and just in private. Secondly, I want to encourage you to pray regularly. Ephesians says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent on your prayers for all believers everywhere, on a regular basis. Don't let God be the last stop. Let him be the first stop. Come to him daily with every care, with every worry, with every thought, with every dream, with everything that you have. Come to him on a regular basis. And lastly, I want you to pray genuinely. Now, that sounds a little rough, right? And I'm not saying this to judge. I just know that Jesus says, look, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go in your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. That's pretty hard. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. I tell you, during the week, I pray for a lot of people, and I get to pray with a lot of people. And this week, I prayed with all sorts of Christian leaders and all sorts of people. You know the prayer that meant the most to me? One person I was praying with one day, we prayed, and they said, this was their prayer. They said, God, I'm a mess. Please help me. Amen. You know what? I prayed a lot this week. That's the prayer that meant the most to me. And I wonder if God is really impressed with our words. He just wants us to say, God, I'm a mess. Can you help me? See, I think when we pray generally, I don't think we worry about what others are going to think about us, especially God, since he knows everything about us, right? We just share our heart. God wants us to be open. And here's the point. If you are someone here today that you want to hear from God, I want to encourage you to pray. Maybe with your spouse, maybe for your spouse, maybe with your kids, maybe for your kids, but just maybe by yourself without anyone listening and anyone else in on the conversation but you and God. You know, in the Rooted book, they had this acronym for prayer, and I think it's a good place to start. And so I just share it with you. It's not the only way to pray, but I thought it was just something simple to remember. And since I'm a simple person, I liked it. And it's just this. It's praise, repent, ask, and yield. So here's the thing. Is when you pray, instead of just starting off with gimme, 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 what if you just start just by praising God? God, I just thank you for who you are. Acknowledge how great he is. Thank him for what he's done. And then maybe just before you go on and ask for anything else, just get things right. You know every person here in this room has sinned? By the way, before this week is over, you will sin many times. I will. And there are things that I'm going to need to ask God forgiveness for. And so I need to confess specific sins I've committed and turn away from doing them again. And then I ask for things that are on my mind. Jesus says, you do not have because you do not ask. And then I just want to yield. I want to be quiet after I've spoken to God and listen to what he might want to say to me. And say, God, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, I want to do something today I don't do very often. In fact, in the life of this church, I don't think very seldom have I pulled the pastor card and asked you all to do something as a whole church. And this is what I'm asking you to do. I want to ask you this Friday to fast and pray. Okay? Everyone here, if you are here, raise your hand. Okay? Just check. You did not raise your hand. I'm a little concerned. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, now let me tell you why. Okay? And this is what I want you to pray for. I want you to write this down. I want you to pray for unity. That's all I want you to pray for. Okay? Now, do you think there's some things we need unity for? Yeah, okay? How many would like to pray for unity for our nation? Right? How many like to pray for unity for your home? Okay? Unity for our church. Unity for individuals. I know at Clayton Valley Charter High School this week, there's been some disunity. How many would just be willing to pray for the high school? Right? Okay? I want our entire church this Friday to pray for unity. And now I want you to fast. Now let me tell you what fasting is, okay? Fasting is going without something for a certain period of time so that you can hear more clearly from God. Usually when people fast, they refrain from eating. Now, when somebody told me this the very first time I fasted, they said, go without eating so that you can hear from God. All I got out of it was I was grumpy and I was cranky and I was hungry, right? And so someone says, so Sean, next time you get hungry, you feel those hunger pains, think about Jesus suffering for you. Huh, okay. Next time you feel that hunger pain, let it remind you to pray for, in this case, unity. So here's, let's do just beginners 101, okay? What if you just had dinner Thursday night and then not have another meal again until Friday night? Okay? Now some of you, that's a big deal, okay? But you know, maybe I'm going to do this. I'm going to be in Southern California, so I know my hope is that we all pray and then we all come together Friday night, whoever's available and whoever's here, and comes to join Pastor Ron for this night of prayer, right? And this is a night where we all share what God has been speaking to us. And Ron's going to walk us through that Friday night. And if you're in town, please come Friday night from 7 to 9. And then Saturday, is it 9 to noon? Just 9 to noon. And we're going to talk about what it means to be in the presence of God and what it is to know him face to face. And all the things Chris was sharing. I mean, just incredible, right? If you're here, I want you to come to that. If you're not here, if you're like me and I'm in Southern California, right? I still want you to do this. And now, so let's you know, don't say, well, okay, do I have to sacrifice food? Okay, for some of you, that's just not possible. I used to work with high school kids and anorexia, you know, and so you know, sometimes it was not healthy. For some of you, it's not healthy. So let's go without something else that may be a rival God. How about if you went 24 hours without your cell phone? Now you're getting personal, Pastor. Without coffee. Oh, yeah. Wait, you're pushing it now, yeah. Without your computer, without television. I mean, somebody said, I'll give up eggplant. No, it doesn't work that way, okay? I mean, get over. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you what to go without, but here's the thing. What I want you to do, I want you to find something that you can fast from for 24 hours. If you want to really go after this, go after it for the whole week, okay? Now, you have to be careful, right? Okay, and it can't just be something that's easy to give up, right? And you can't do something ridiculous. I will give up breathing for 20. No, you can't do that, right? Okay, so, but there's got to be some sacrifice. And this is the thing. The reason I want you to do this, the reason I'm calling our whole church to do this is because I believe that God is calling us to unity. And right now, we are a world that is in desperate need of unity. And we know that. It's the world in which you live. It's the nation in which we live. It's the community in which we live. It's the homes in which we live and the schools and the churches. This is what we need more than anything right now. And I believe that God is calling us to unity. And so here, what a great chance we have to come together as one voice, as one body, as one family, and say, Lord, we are praying for unity. And so we set everything aside. And if you fast with me on Friday and you feel those hunger pains, let that drive you to prayer. If you go without your cell phone, let that drive you to prayer and the people who just no longer do business with you. But let, you know, whatever it may be, okay? What is it you want to do that's going to help you focus more on God in the midst of your crazy day? Something that you're going to be reminded of because it's something you do on a regular basis. And I can't speak that for you. But I do know this. I do know this. As God is speaking, are you listening? And if you feel out of sync with God, I believe that the purpose of this week and for this life is to be on the same frequency as God so that we can hear what he is already speaking to you and desperately wants you to hear. So whether it's through his word or by listening to his spirit, whether it's through prayer or there's so many other ways that we can listen to God, let him speak to you this week. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let me pray for you, okay? So, Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that we would hear your voice. Lord, I think every person in this room wants to hear your voice. I think every person in this room would love to hear your voice. But, Lord, we're so busy sometimes. And so dealing with our crazy things that are going about us, we think that you're not here. And we think that our problems are greater than the truth of your presence. So Lord, I just pray now that we would hear your voice. And as you speak to us, we would respond. This in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, don't leave before this song's over, but let's stand and sing it together and let God speak to you in this song, and then I'll close this out.